When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Rated E for everyone, 10 and up.
Okay. Hey guys, I'm Johnny.
Hey guys, I'm James.
And today, you're listening. Wait, no, it's tonight, right? Yeah, tonight. 3, 2. And tonight you're looking.
We'll
at, you're listening to that story show. You're listening to that story show, folks.
Hey! This is that story show, people.
Hey, you watching?
Hey, who's cooking pizza?
I turned into a bat. I flew into this lady's house. I left her some guano.
Hey, podcast people. This is that story show where we're telling hilarious real life stories and inviting you to do the same. This is episode 283, and I am your host. My name is James Kennison, and my good friend is here.
Hey, my name is John, and I love the smell of AstroTurf.
Awesome. How does it smell, John?
Exactly. Like fake grass. Oh, I don't know. I was just looking out the window, and I saw some, and I thought, hey, I'll talk about
sorry
that.
Sorry I asked. I don't know. I don't know that that answered my question. David is not with us today because we don't like him, and he was trying to get John voted off the show last week, or week before last. But we do have a very special guest with us today. Her name is Donna Harris. She is the host of Constantly Under Construction podcast at constantlyunderconstruction.com. Donna, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
We've decided that we're going to behave since...
Yeah, there's a lady present.
So
you're going to behave.
Yeah, yeah, we're going to make sure we behave this time.
You know there's ladies that listen, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of ladies that listen, actually. I'm constantly amazed with how many normal... Because I do. I look them up on Facebook. When somebody follows us or emails us, I look them up. Because I'm like, okay, what kind of lady? And I'm imagining this troll. You know, just this lady that just loves smelling farts all day or something. You know? And they're normal people. They're just normal ladies. And I'm always amazed. So
maybe. I mean, I would say I'm one of those, and then I don't know. We'll see how the rest of the hour.
You have a bunch of boys, don't you?
I do. So I'm smelling farts, even though I don't want.
Yeah, that's been known to happen. Well, we're glad to have you, and thank you so much for coming on. Tell me a little bit about Constantly Under Construction.
Constantly Under Construction is a podcast that we like to focus on stories of people who have overcome really difficult things to bring hope to my listeners. Awesome. I love for people to listen to struggles that people have gone through and feel like, hey, I can get through my struggle too.
That's great, because when you're struggling, it's so easy to think, especially with social media and everything, it's so easy to feel like everybody else's life is perfect and they're just going through life and having a great time, and that you're all alone in your suffering.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly the point. I don't want people to feel like they're the only ones doing it.
Awesome. I got to be on your show, and it was awesome. And
it was. And you know, the part of the reason you were on my show is because I'm one of those trolls that has listened to your show.
I didn't say you were a troll.
No,
I said no. I just expected you to be a troll. That was all.
I think back to when I first listened to the show, and I enjoyed it so much. And it was during one of those times that I was having a hard time, and I was in Florida on the beach listening to your show, and I thought, this is really uplifting and just really something that I want to do someday. And I remember I became your friend on Facebook. And now that you tell me you look up these normal people that listen to your show, I'm sure I was one of those smart fart smelling trolls that you were. Oh my gosh.
Just for the record, I look up everybody that reaches out and becomes a name that's like in my head that I know, folks that send in messages and stories and all that kind of stuff. So I'm not creepy in any way, promise.
No, not totally normal.
Everybody does that.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, that's comforting to know too, because I do that sometimes.
my wife is the queen of it. She never posts anything. Constantly though is creeping on other people, checking out their stuff. So
your wife has a Facebook account?
I know, right? Yes, oh, she does. Man. And she uses it. It's all One Direction. It's just for input. It's not no output going on there. So man. She has a Twitter too. She hadn't used it in 10 years. But
wow.
We always start with an opening story, and this episode is no different. Our first story is called Our Savior's Diet. Hi, guys. Oh, it's from Daryl from Michigan. Hi, guys. My name is Daryl. Just started listening to podcasts, and I'm glad I found yours. Well, I'm glad you found ours first and not a good one first.
Yeah. Wait, no. Just stop here. Don't look for any others.
Yeah. don't compare.
Yeah.
Because we have a great audience. Not a great show. Growing up, I went to a very small Christian school, 60 kids, K through eighth grade. John can relate.
I totally can.
Being a Christian school, of course, we had chapel. It was our first or second grade, or I was in first or second grade. And on that day, we learned about Jesus's death on the cross. And I was super excited to tell my mom what I'd learned on the day when she picked me up. I get in the car and excitedly tell my mom, Mom, I know where Jesus died. And that's awesome, sweetie. Where did he die? And I replied with full confidence, on calories. So apparently my young ears had misinterpreted the word Calvary and thought Jesus died from overeating. So,
oh man,
hope you enjoy the story. Grateful I found your show. Keep them coming. Daryl from Michigan. Daryl, we're glad you found the show too. And we hope you don't find any others.
Yeah. Unless you want to check out Donna's, because it probably is helpful.
Right.
Yes.
To do that.
Hey, I went to a small Christian school too, so I can totally relate. I figure that guy is eventually going to learn what Calvary is.
Yeah.
maybe calories. Eventually, if he keeps going well enough. Well, let's rewind the week. All right, Donna, you're our guest, so why don't you go first?
Mm. Oh, 80. Well, I know you said I have boys. I have three boys. My youngest son, he's 4 years old, and he does fine going to the bathroom, but he's very bathroom conscious. So he's perfectly capable of going. He doesn't have any accidents. There's no trouble.
Define bathroom conscious.
Yeah.
Here we go. He just goes out of his way to alert somebody and a grown-up that he's needing to use the bathroom.
Okay.
He'll go across the whole entire house. He'll go up the stairs, down the stairs, wherever, and practically going in his pants to let us know, I have to go to the bathroom. And we're like, go, buddy, go.
Yeah.
You have a blessing.
I remember that
go.
Age. My oldest still does that. She's 14. No, I'm kidding.
We still do it as adults, though, right? I mean, it's like, oh, I got to go pee.
Yeah. That's true. I think that maybe that's what I'm trying to break him up. It's like,
yeah, but you don't go around the office and wait for folks to get out the phone. I just want to let you know.
That's a good point. That would be awesome, though. I might try it tomorrow.
Gotta go to the potty. I'll be back after the meeting.
A couple days ago, he told me, he's like, I have to go to the bathroom, but he also had something else. He's like, and Mom? And I said, yes. And this was after we had picked him up from spending that at Grammy's house. And he said, you forgot to pack my underwear when I spent the night. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, buddy. So what'd you guys do? And he goes, I'm wearing Grammy's underwear. Buddy, I am sure you're not wearing. You're wearing kid underwear that Grammy has at her house for you. And he goes, no, it is Grammy's underwear. What?
Oh man,
me super to go and check, but of course I checked. It was, unless Grammy wears toddler size Mickey Mouse.
Okay,
I'm pretty sure they're not hers.
Woo! I was imagining safety pins were involved and a lot of bunching in the back. You know, I'm glad.
That where's the pocket on the front of my underwear? I don't know where it's at.
That's great. That is great.
Grammy's undies.
My mom forgot to pack me underwear one time. It was when I was baptized.
Oh,
that's not good.
Yeah. And I was little and I got baptized and, and I go to change and I couldn't go without undies. Right. You know, it just, my little kid brain wouldn't let me. So I put on my jeans on top of the wet underwear and went to children's church and sat there in wet pants. It was very uncomfortable. I was like, I'm never getting saved again.
Just once time for me.
Yes. Once saved, always saved for me. Thanks very much.
Your theology was embedded into you from that age, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, who wet underwear solidified your theology?
Yeah, Calvin would be proud.
Kept me from backsliding all these years. I didn't want to have to recommit.
Did it keep you from slip and sliding, though?
It did. It did. It was just moist. It was very moist and very cold. So. John, why don't you hit us with your weekly rewind?
Okay, yeah. So this one is my rewind button got stuck, and I went way back in time on this.
Okay.
Because I was listening to this amazing new podcast called The Red School Bus.
Hey!
And the host, Jenna. Sorry, I don't know what happened here. Somebody Twitter.
It's a very similar name.
Yeah. Jenna, she was talking about kickball, and I had this huge flashback. So when I was, I'll just say it like it was yesterday. Yesterday I was playing kickball. Yesterday, about 30 years ago.
Yeah.
I loved kickball, man. It was the game that I played. And every day at my little Christian school, we would go outside. And we had this big field, and we would just play kickball from beginning of recess to the end of recess. And, you know, I could kick that ball, man. I could sail it to the road. It went to the road, and that was like automatic home run. Well, one day, this day in particular, they had replaced the home plate with this. It was like the top of a desk.
Okay.
You know, like it was a thick piece of wood, and I don't know why, because
it was laminated on top like a desk.
I think it was.
It'd be a little slick.
It might have been a little bit. It might have been a little bit thicker than the top of a desk because it was. It had some substance to it.
Okay.
But as was my way, I backed up. And I waited for the pitch, and it came to the plate, and I had made my ascension to the plate. That's probably not the right word, but I was headed, man. I was going for it. I pulled my foot back, and I put all of my energy into kicking that ball as it was coming across that piece of wood plate. And my foot did not hit the ball like I intended. It hit that piece of wood and stopped suddenly and instantly. And I flew forward because I don't know what Newton's law of in energy transference, but that plate didn't stop, but my foot did.
Oh, yeah, an object in motion and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing I was looking for right there. So I went further than the ball did rolling. And, it was not an experience. I had to stand up immediately and pretend like I intended to do that. But, I think they even called me out on that. It's like, I don't know.
Did you bust your toe open or anything?
No. Okay. I was wearing shoes.
Good.
Back then I wore pretty thick shoes. So, but I remember my foot, like, you know, when you jump off like the top of the bunk bed, I don't know why I'm going into kid mode.
Oh,
here, but
and it's, you get that spring feeling in your,
and it's like, your legs kind of vibrate and they get numb and tingly at the same time.
Right.
My whole foot up my leg did that. And it was, I was walking funny for a few minutes. Yeah. That's what it reminded me of. Thanks to the Red School Bus.
Thanks to Red School Bus. You know, kickball is a great game, and it's a great game for kids like me because it's a great equalizer. You nobody's really bad at kickball, and everybody loves to kick a ball as hard as they can, and that's really your only goal. It's like, I just want to kick. I want to stand in line and kick.
And that rubber ball just absorbs so much energy and flies. It's just a satisfying feeling.
It's like every one is a home run just about. Yeah, you know, unless
that's what it feels
unless
like.
The cool kid catches it just right.
That's it. Yes, that's the thing that I was thinking about. I'm like, I didn't like kicking the ball because somebody inevitably always caught it on my kick.
Yeah. You had to kick it to that little kid out in the backfield that was not real good at kicking or catching.
But I was that little kid, so if I'm kicking, what am I not good at kickball.
Pop fly.
Well, speaking of new podcasts, my weekly update is I don't have one, so I'm going to cheat. And I'm going to tell you about a couple things that I've been meaning to say for a couple of weeks. But those who follow us on social media, YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and stuff, you already know. But there's so many of you that don't. So I figured I'd tell you that we started a brand new podcast in the Nobody's Listening podcast community. It's called Red School Bus, and it is just like this show, except it's completely family friendly. Whereas ours is everyone 10 and up. This one's for everybody. And it stars my daughter, Jenna, and myself hosting together and telling funny life stories and inviting you to do the same. So if you like this show, you'll probably love that one because Jenna's much cooler than any of your regular hosts. And we've only got one episode out. You can find it on Google Play Store. You can find it in iTunes, but you can also go to rsbcast.com and you'll find the RSS feeds and the way to subscribe in iTunes. I'm not sure if it's in iTunes yet or not. The other thing I wanted to tell you about was my YouTube channel, youtube.com/C/thatstoryshow, or just type in that story show into YouTube and you'll find that I've made a couple of animated video stories. It's just something I'm trying on the side, and I would love to get you subscribed and listening and watching and, you know, giving feedback and all that kind of stuff. It's doing all right. It could do better. And if you'll go check out YouTube, if you're on there anyway, just type in that story show and you can hear about the torture chamber from one of our early episodes and a time I scared the crap out of my wife. On accident. So kind of on accident. So
I'm subscribed.
Oh, good.
That's fun.
Yeah, it's fun. I got some input from Ethan Nicole, John, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to throwing myself into the third episode and doing even better. So every episode gets a little more animated, a little awesome. More involved. So we'll see how it goes. Well, it's time now for our featured story.
Let me tell y'all a story.
That's right. It's featured story time. And today our featured stories are brought to us by our guest, Donna. Donna, take it away.
Yes.
Okay. So the featured story, this is a story of young love, Christmas time. And the pioneer days of eBay and UPS online tracking.
Okay.
So my husband and I were first married, we'd only been married a couple of years and we got married really young because we were one of those couples that met in a small Christian school. And the next thing you do when you graduate, you get, so we That's were right. barely 20 years old and we were broke. We had no money. But we loved creating Christmas traditions. So aside from the typical traditions that people have, like maybe jammies on Christmas Eve and obviously opening presents on Christmas Day, we had a few Christmas seasons under our belt. And one of them was that we always, after finishing with all of our gift giving, always pretended to be done only to surprise each other with one last amazing gift at the end.
That's cool. That's cool.
So. Yeah, it was really neat, but it also was like, we knew it was happening, but it was always unsaid. So we'd
get
all the gifts and then we kind of look at each other and be like, except somebody.
So is it kind of like at Valentine's Day when you say, oh, no, don't get me something, but then you do and then.
Well, see, now that, you're asking about like the entrapment of it. And I don't think.
I totally am.
I don't think it was entrapment. In fact, if anything, my husband loved the idea of it more than I felt like I was rising to the challenge for him because he was the one that always did so well with surprising me with that one day. And again, we're just a young couple, no kids. So for us, we were trying to make the magic of Christmas happen between two young adults. So
that is hard at that age too. You know, when the kids re-enter the picture, it just, it comes with the kids. It just does. And, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, trying to make all that happen for me, there was extra pressure. So that particular year, I was excited to buy a telescope that cost us an entire $100.
Ooh, off of wow.
Because, you know, we didn't have that kind of money. And honestly, I know, John, you were asking about entrapment. I don't remember if this was a gift he actually asked for, if he wanted a telescope, or if this was something that just like fit the criteria. You know, it was big. Expensive for us, and I know he likes space and facts about the universe, so maybe it all worked. But anyway, I made this purchase from somebody who had an A+ rating on eBay, because back then eBay was still new to navigate, and so I felt very nervous about it,
right?
And it, you know, I'm trying to be secretive about my gift and trying to make sure I get a good deal on it. Everything kind of felt sketchy because, you know, nowadays
you bid on it and everything.
Yeah, you got to. Well, I think they had the option where you could just like buy it outright, which was brand new. But, you know, nowadays, if you can't buy something online, it's a major pain. Back then, buying things online
was scary. Yeah.
Yeah. So I made my purchase and then waited for the date. And I had a UPS tracking number and I waited for the date that it said it was supposed to come, and it didn't come. And I waited another day because it was back in 2002. So, you know, you can wait a whole day. Nowadays, we don't wait a whole day for anything. But I waited a day, and then I looked up the UPS tracking and got really nervous and frustrated when I saw that the package had been delivered.
Oh, boo. But I'm
the one that got it.
Oh, man.
So I did a little digging on the internet and found that there was a record online of the signature of the person that received the package, because it had to get signed to receive it. And in big scrawled out gnarly letters, read the word Scarface.
What?
And I'm like, did I read this right? And I'm looking at it, it's a Scarface. Wrote it, you know, on their way out, you know, like in, if they could have written it in blood or scratched it in their, gosh, with their finger, done it, Scarface. And I'm like, who took my telescope?
I'm gonna order another one. Yeah.
Well, and I'm freaked out. I bought it on eBay. I didn't know what to do, and I didn't want to tell my husband because this was a Christmas gift. So, I asked him nonchalantly if he had signed for a package. He obviously didn't. So I'm like, who would steal my package? Is somebody going to try to do it again? Is somebody getting at my front door and signing for packages for me and signing it Scarface? Who is Scarface?
It's Al Pacino, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So this was our first year of living in the neighborhood, and I figured out that you can look up things on a city assessment website. Do you know what that is, where you can see who's purchased homes on your street and it gives
details? Yeah. Yeah. Like the public records type thing.
Yeah. So you can see who purchased their home, what year, and their name. And I only knew that because we had just purchased our home. So I looked up our street, and I found on the list of all the people included was a Joe Scarpace, P-A-C-E.
Scarpace.
Who lived next door. So turns out Mr. Scarpace was like a billion years old. And I knocked on his door, and he was really bothered at the time when the UPS came to his door delivering the package to the wrong house. And apparently he had just signed for the package and left it in the foyer, forgetting about it.
Ah.
Uh-oh. Until
I came knocking for it 3 days later.
Mr. Scarface. Sir.
Yes, he was like that.
Say hello to my little friends.
Not another mob hit, I hope. All these misunderstandings. I'm harmless. That's great.
Ultimately harmless, but it still is a bit intimidating. And the drama in my head that unfolded was bigger than the actual event, but it still ended up being pretty funny to me.
Mr. Scarface. That's great.
It's a Scarface. Okay.
You got it. He was Italian.
Oh, there
really?
You go.
There you go, John. That's why we have you on the show instead of David.
To be the translator?
Yeah. You're an interpreter. Translating is when you write. Interpreting is when you speak.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's it.
We're informational, you know? The more you know, better off you are.
Yeah.
Oh, that was fantastic. That was great.
Yeah.
I wish that never happened to me. Wait, no, it didn't. So I'm good. See, that's not how I thought it was going to end. I thought your husband was playing a trick on you and he actually got it early.
I kind of thought that at the time because I'm like, Scarface. It just did not seem like that could really work out that way. So I really, I thought that at the time.
I wouldn't have put it past for him. You. Oh, man. Well, let's do some listener story. Okay. This first one comes to us from Mike. It's called The Bomb. Hey, James, thanks for sharing the Bambi on Ice story recently. After listening for a couple of months now and realizing the youth work that you guys do, I've got another story to share. The youth work we did, it's in the past for both of us.
Right.
Yeah.
It's true.
thank God. In my time as a volunteer for youth group, I hear lots of parents say that they have this great relationship with their kids. They tell us everything. And his thing is, no, they don't. And there's a good reason for that. It's called keeping your parents sane. If we knew everything that they were up to or everything they did, we would never sleep. And that just makes me not want to sleep already, having a 14-year-old. But anyway, this topic came up recently at our dinner table, and the following line was said. Like the time we built a bomb. So apparently he's got adult children. Turns out one time when my wife and I left the kids alone, the boys started playing with one of my little butane torches. They discovered that butane is heavier than air. And when you put it in a bottle, it will pour out and burn like water. I never knew that. And hopefully no one listening to this show will find that as exciting as I do. Cause that sounds awesome. But,
yeah, don't try it, by the way. Just disclaimer, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Don't try this at home, folks. Not being satisfied with this piece of newfound knowledge, they wanted to direct the flame. Think rocket. So they melted a hole in a bottle cap because more fire, and they filled the bottle with butane and lit the stream of butane that flowed out, but the results were pretty disappointing. So Big Brother decided to use his toe to force more of the butane out of the bottle to get a bigger flame. Now, I have no idea how that would work. I have no idea how
forcing anything out with your toe is immediately funny.
Yeah, it is funny. It's dangerous, but I don't know how you know what position you would have to be in for that to work. But he says,
sounds like impossible.
Yeah, he says it was a little better, but the real excitement started when the Big Brother took his toe off the bottle. And the bottle went back into its original shape. Oh, I got it. Okay. I guess he was squeezing the bottle. Anyway, the bottle went back to its original shape and sucked the flame into the bottle. And they described the moments that followed differently, but safe to say there was an explosion. Little Brother tells of looking up at Big Brother, and he asked what had happened, and Big Brother's mouth was moving, but he couldn't hear what was being said because of the ringing in his ears. Big Brother says,
I mean, that's terrible.
Yeah. Big Brother says they immediately looked down after the explosion to find the bottle, which was gone. They found it 15 feet away next to the on top of the entertainment center, at which point I had to stop and ask, you did this in the basement? Well, yeah, they did.
There goes the house.
Yeah. Second thing they said was, they went to see if any of the windows were blown out. No damage was done to the house, and they swore to never share that story until they each had their own places to live. Smart. Anyway, they survived their kidhood, and so did we, but there's still things we don't know. Mike. Yeah, I wonder what my kids are getting away with right now. I don't know.
They're probably working on stuff for their own podcast.
I got good kids. They're kind of like John. So they're going to come up in the future and they're going to be like, oh yeah, we were getting away with all kinds of stuff one time. Oh, should we tell him? And we'll be like, yeah, go ahead. Tell us. It's okay. You're grown now. We stole like 3 Hershey Kisses out of the bag and we split them and we felt so bad. We put 2 back.
Yeah,
that'll be my kids, hopefully.
Man, that sounds That sounds heinous.
That sounds like what John would do as a bad kid.
So. Yeah, no. I stole ketchup packets.
Really?
From Chick-fil-A.
Oh, man.
No. I told you that story once when I stole the Kool-Aid, right?
No.
No?
Maybe you did, man. But tell it again.
That's the only thing I ever intentionally... Well, I didn't even intend to steal it. That's the thing. Uh-huh. So we were at the grocery store. I was just a wee lad, probably five. And we were at Winn-Dixie. And I wanted green Kool-Aid. And my mom said no. And I'm like, it's only like 2 cents. And so I came up with the idea. I was going to put it on the conveyor belt.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've tried
while,
that.
Yeah, yeah. So she wouldn't see it and it'd get paid for. And I'd, you know, steal it out of the bag. So I forgot. I stuck it in my back pocket and I forgot to put it on the conveyor belt. And so we're leaving the store and I'm like, I just stole something and nobody knows. And then you see, the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out.
Yes, it does.
And I decided I was going to dispose of the evidence by drinking it. And so, I didn't know that it was not sweetened already.
Oh, man. So
I took that powder and I ripped open that little Kool-Aid packet and I took that powder and I dumped it in my mouth.
Oh.
I was like, this is disgusting. So I go to the sink and I'm trying to water it out and there's green all over my mouth and all in the sink. And my grandma, who just happens to be at my house, comes in and says, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm not doing anything. And man, I got busted and then I had to tell my mom the whole story and I believe a spanking was in order that evening. So I know that's why I don't steal anything. Because grandma's gonna show up.
You got caught. Yeah. Yeah. That's great.
That's true. Yeah, Merry Christmas. That's why I don't steal stuff.
My brothers each stole like items. They would be in the cart, you know, in the front part. You know, as infants, and they had a habit of just grabbing stuff while my mom wasn't looking and hiding it in their clothes. And then we'd get home and they'd be playing with a truck or something. And they're like, where'd you get that truck? From the store. They have no conscience whatsoever.
Yeah.
And it turned out they stole it. And so each of them individually at different times had to go back to the store and return it and apologize. And I'm like, Mom, they're three. They don't even understand what like, that's a great punishment if you're 14, you know?
Yeah.
But when you're three, just beat them, you know? Let them keep the truck and beat them. No, don't let them keep the truck. make them give the truck away to some poor kids. Like my mom did for Christmas. So, all right. Let's listen to a voicemail. This one comes to us from Carrie. It's called Don't Make Faces. Or no, it's called The Water Bottle. My bad.
Hi, guys. It's Carrie. I was recently reminded of a story about something that happened to my brother when we were on vacation that I thought you guys might enjoy hearing about. My brother was about 11 at the time. I was 16, and my family took a vacation out to Canada's East Coast, and I believe we were staying in New Brunswick at the time. And we stopped at a hotel for the night, and my brother was in his pajamas all ready for bed. I was kind of already lying around in bed. We were just watching TV and stuff. And my dad decided that he wanted a bottle of water out of the vending machine down the hall. But he decided that he didn't want to get up to get it himself, so he sent my brother. Jeff kind of balked at this. He didn't want to go out in his pajamas or anything, but Dad said, it's just down the hall. You'll be fine. Like, just hurry up. So he was gone for longer than it should have taken him. And we were all kind of starting to wonder where he was when all of a sudden he bangs on the door. So we open it and he comes flying into the room and throws the bottle of water at my dad and lies face down on the bed and starts bawling. So it took us a while to actually get out of him what had happened. I guess what he had done was that he had gone down the hall and there wasn't any water left in that vending machine. So he went up a floor to see if there was any in the vending machine on the next floor. And there was, so he got it. But then he had forgotten that he had gone up a floor. So he went back to what he thought was our room and knocked on the door. But he didn't only knock on the door. he enjoyed making faces at my parents through the people. So he was doing that when all of a sudden the door opens and this very angry man shouts at him, "What are you doing, you stupid kid?" And my brother just lost it. He's like James. He does not like getting into trouble.
I'm sweating
and
now.
So this big burly man yelling at him was just the most horrifying thing he had ever experienced. To this day, we love to tease him about how he had gone to the wrong room and was making faces in the people for some poor man that was just trying to get some sleep that night. I hope you enjoyed it and have a good show, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
That's so great. That is so great. He forgot to go down.
Mistaken identity.
Oh gosh,
I've walked the wrong door before.
Have you done that?
Have you guys walked into the wrong door before?
I have a thing like that, but I did it on purpose. But no, I haven't.
What do you mean by the wrong door?
Yeah, tell us.
Well, I mean, I know that there was one time I went to my aunt's house and it was her new house for Thanksgiving. I assumed I had the right house. And when it's a family function, I don't know about your families, but I just didn't think I had to knock. And I politely did the, I'm knocking as I'm walking in. And I walked into the house, a completely different family sitting
there. That's not the wrong door. That's the whole wrong house.
Wrong house. Have I said that before?
Nope.
I can't say that I have.
Oh my gosh.
I haven't even done that in an apartment complex, which would be, you know, understandable, but.
No, well,
No, go ahead.
No, I was just saying my closest thing is I was one time I needed to go to the bathroom at this hotel, and the only public bathroom was being used. And I needed to go in more ways than one. I actually needed to leave. And so there was this room that was open. And I was like, okay, they're cleaning. So they're not there. And I will sneak into the bathroom, use it, and leave. And no one will be the wiser. It's a little bit breaking the rules. But, you know, it's fine. But with me, it's never fine. Because I always get caught. I always get in trouble whenever I break the rules. And, so I go in there and do my business, and I'm coming out, and there's luggage in there in the room. And I just knew that I was going to turn around to see somebody come and walk in into the door. But I will tell you, I did make it out unscathed and uncaught. So I guess I do get away with stuff every now and then. But the point being that I thought it was empty, and I was only breaking the rules a little bit, and I was in someone's open hotel room. And
you, know, you have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And you have to go to the bathroom. The closer you get to the event of being able to go, the further you can't reverse that. So you have to make it happen.
Oh, absolutely.
It's true. It's like your body knows that there's a bathroom close.
My friend though, David, he went into a bathroom, the women's room. It was a single toilet deal. But he went in there and hid behind the door because his wife was coming. But his wife isn't the one that walked through the door. And he knows he has to say something. He's trying. He's like, oh my gosh, I can't just slip out. I have to say something. I have to, you know, I can't let her get going here, you know? And so he just said, he kind of started to slip out, and he said, "I thought you were my wife," and he just ran out. And his wife Sherry had gotten hung up talking to somebody, you know. And
"I thought you were my wife. I thought you were my wife."
At that point, he could have said, it didn't matter what he said.
No,
he could have said, "Hi, I'm here." Anything, and it just would have been wrong. All of it was wrong. So that's just. Hilarious.
It would have been absolutely horrifying for her too, you know, no matter what. It's like the worst fear I would imagine for a lady is a dude. You know, it's like Psycho. It's you don't want the dude in the bathroom with you. It's just, right.
I thought you were my wife. Run away.
That reminds me though, one time me and my brother-in-law John He had a dummy that we used during a Christmas play that they would throw from the balcony. And it was supposed to look like somebody had gotten punched and fallen, you know, from upstairs or whatever. But it had boots on and pants and, you know, a full thing. Its head and arms were made out of duct tape and stuff. So it wasn't real convincing. It was just, you know, the shape. And we had this stupid idea. I think it was mostly my idea.
The instigator.
As long as he did it, is we took it down to the women's restroom and we set it up on the toilet with his boots on the ground. And we put a walkie-talkie in his belt so that we could talk to people. I don't know why we did this. I would never do this to right now, but I was in my 20s and it's just like, hey, this will be funny. And we promptly forgot about it. We got busy and we just totally forgot about the joke. And so 2 hours later, John calls me over and he's like talking real quiet. He's like, dude, we're in trouble. We're in big trouble. There is a lady. She's sitting up there in the reception and she is freaking out. She went to the bathroom and she heard somebody talk on the radio, a man's voice, and she looked underneath and saw the boots and she screamed and ran out of the bathroom. And she's crying and she's really upset and they want to know who did it. And I said, well, just tell them I did it. Just tell them I did it. I'm used to it. I'm used to getting in trouble. So I don't remember anybody ever coming after us, actually. It was a pretty cool church. So,
oh man,
people were pretty chill. And I think the lady was hamming it up to try to get some sort of lawsuit going. So,
oh geez. Yeah, of course.
Oh my gosh. But it was terrible. It was terrible. We got a story called Cat Prayer. And John, being that we've both worked with children and had children, and Donna, I would imagine you too, the way kids pray is very unique, and that's what this story is all about, especially little kids. Hey, James, John, and David, longtime listener but infrequent emailer here. This is from Stephanie in Columbus, Ohio, by the way. She said, it's been great to have you guys back in our lineup the past few months. This story is a culmination of too much cat death this year.
Oh, man.
We had two cats die in the last 6 months. And me telling my four-year-old daughter that, of course, it's okay to talk to God about anything. For listeners who don't know, four-year-olds are very, very literal.
Yes.
This morning, my husband and I took our daughter to an open house for a homeschooling co-op group that we're planning to join. The open house is mostly so families can see if they like the program and if it's a good fit for them. But you know that people are already in it, are checking you out too. So you hope your kid doesn't do anything crazy and that doesn't say anything weird. Well, we broke off into classes and the 4 and 5 year olds tutor said that first we should pray before we started the lesson. And our daughter immediately asked if she could pray. Knowing my child, I tried to intervene, but the far too nice tutor said, of course you can start us and then I'll finish up. And then my daughter told her that she wanted to pray about her cats that died. And the tutor said, of course, that was fine. So we all bowed our heads. And without so much as a dear God or heavenly father, my daughter launched into a long description of her cats that had died and how she still had 3 other cats, but one of them got sick and died. And if they did die, she would have 2 cats. But if one of those cats got sick and died, then she would only have 1 cat and so on. The worst part was that my husband and I had to try not to fall on the floor laughing because we were laughing so hard I couldn't breathe. Every time I thought I got a grip on myself, I would hear my husband trying not to laugh and it would start all over yes. again.
So it's the best.
If we don't get into the group, I know it will be not because of our kids' prayer, but because of how we responded to it as parents. And the fact that my child used prayer time to monologue about her dead cats. So hope this made you laugh. Thanks for the great show, Stephanie from Columbus, Ohio. Yes, 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 yes.
I like the cat math she had going on there.
She probably got in for math skills, if nothing else. I used to have a kid. I did a group called Straight Arrows, and that was always pre-K and kindergarten aged guys. So, you know, guys age.
Royal Rangers.
Yeah, and we would sit around a little fake campfire that I made and tell stories and ask for prayer requests and stuff. And there was this one kid called Benjamin, and I'll never forget it. He had a bowl cut just like I did when I was a kid. And every time he had a prayer request or a prayer, it would start with one time, and then he would just tell you the longest story in history. Now I'm a grown man with children. I know how to cut kids off, and I know it doesn't offend them. They're used to it, you know, and you can tell them to shorten it up. But back then, I thought I would damage his little soul if I didn't let him go on for 500 years. And my favorite one was when he was telling me he was trying one time, my brother. And I said, no, buddy, why don't you tell me what your prayer request is? He says, well, I want to pray for my brother's back. And I said, oh, he shortened it up. But now it's too short. Now I need to know what the deal is. And so he says, one time we were jumping on the bed and I kicked my brother in the back. And so I'm like, don't you think we should pray maybe that that you don't kick your brother anymore and hurt him? And he goes, no, we just pray for his back. We're good. So 4 and 5 year olds, they're useless.
What?
They become something useful later on in life, but
as long as they're not wearing Grammy's underwear.
Right.
True. True. All right, this one is called Alien, and it is a voicemail from Phil, and here it goes.
Hello, James and John, and whoever else you have with you. Love the show. Keep up the good work. I wanted to share with you another story from my life that I hope you'll find fascinating and funny. My name is Phil, and I live in Minnesota, where it's quite cold today, and it got me thinking again about the other very cold place I once lived, which was Chicago, that windy city. When I went to college there in Chicago, there was a 7-Eleven convenience store that was within walking distance from the college. And so often late at night, students from that college would walk over to 7-Eleven and get themselves a Slurpee or nachos or whatever great food they might want to put into their system late at night. And I did this as well. One time when I went in, though, as I got my stuff and went up to the counter, I found myself staring at a lady who had naturally green hair. Yeah, I don't mean it wasn't dyed, you know, at the salon or something. It wasn't that she had taken some of that spray hair color because it was Halloween. As far as I could tell, her hair was just naturally green. Now, that was odd enough, but then we engaged in a conversation. She asked me what I was doing, and I told her that I was getting a snack, and then I would go home and go to bed, to which she responded, oh, you have to sleep?
What?
I responded, well, yes. She responded, well, where I come from, we don't have to sleep.
See, this is the kind of woman I imagine listens to our show. That's that's the epitome right there.
We don't have to sleep.
We don't have to sleep where I come from. Yeah. So, no, anyway, let's continue.
Now, that was odd enough and certainly got me to telling this story to people when I got back, and really for years since, that this naturally green-haired lady told me she came from a place where they didn't have to sleep. But the even creepier thing was, something like a year or two later, I was in downtown Chicago, quite far away from that 7-Eleven, and I was telling this story to someone else that I was with on that day. And I kid you not, as I looked out of the bus, there I saw the lady with naturally green hair.
What?
I personally don't believe in aliens. But yet, I believe this lady was an alien. I don't know how to mesh that together in my brain, but I hold both beliefs pretty firmly. Well, I hope you found this story amusing, and holy I hope you guys will keep up the good work. Always enjoy listening to the show. God's blessings to you.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Well, that's freaky.
I'm still taken back by naturally green hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. You had me at hello. I don't know. I don't even know what naturally green hair would look like.
I would imagine it would be a very faint green, like maybe something she eats or puts into her body kind of taints her hair follicles. I don't know.
Like wow. When people eat too many carrots and they turn orange?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I don't know the science behind it, but I just imagine it's an older lady with whitish, greenish hair. I don't think it's leprechaun green.
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, I don't know. I've seen people with pinkish hair before.
Naturally pinkish
hair? Yeah, it seemed like it. Like old ladies.
I know that like my sister, she had light hair. And like when she swam a lot down in Florida and didn't wash the chlorine out of her hair, would kind of get like a greenish sort of tint to it.
Maybe she has mold in her hair or something.
Oh, that could have been it.
Speaking of which, we have a new listener to the show, thanks to a guy named Robert Harrington, and I want to tell his story. He says, James Fartman and Brohost.
Hey.
So this just happened. He said, I was in a parking lot headed to my favorite restaurant with an older man when an older man stopped me and asked me what my shirt meant. Being a frequent wearer of geeky tees, I'm used to having puzzled looks and even people commenting on my shirts. So I wasn't taken aback when he asked. I took a quick glance and saw that I was wearing my That Story Show shirt. And I said, oh, it's a comedy podcast I listen to. He asked, is it funny? I replied with a smile, I bought the shirt. He said, I'll have to check it out. He offered me a high five, which I returned and began walking away. So you should be expecting a new listener that smells like greasy vinegar and has only one shoe. Rob.
Okay.
So there's, that my That's daughter, speaking of which, on Red School Bus told a story about a guy from the street that she had a conversation with. And she was definitely under the impression that he was going to send her to the moon. He was speaking so clearly about how he had accidentally sent a man to the moon. And he was so convincing that she was fearful for a minute that she said she needed to get out of there because she was afraid he was going to turn around and say, you go to the moon. And she would meet the man that he had sent previously. So
did he mention anything about not having to sleep where he's from?
I don't know. Right. There's a connection. This story is called Bear in the Basement. It's from Mike Girl. I guess that's how you say his last name. And if that is your last name, Mike, I'm sorry, man, because you've been made fun of your whole life and I'm adding to the problem. Mike's a girl, you know. You could just see mean little boys doing that. So
it's actually pronounced Gural.
Gural. It's I don't know. It's Scarface, you know.
Yeah.
Hey.
Scarface. My wife and I live in the foothills outside of Denver at an elevation of 8,000 feet. So it's bear country. However, in the 20 years we've lived here, we've never had one incident of a bear disturbing anything, and it was our fault by leaving trash out when we first moved in. In the summer, though, we used to leave the basement door open with just the sliding screen door in place to keep out bugs, but not anymore. I woke up to crashing and banging in the basement at about 1 o'clock in the morning. I jumped out of bed, ran downstairs to the basement, flipped on the light, and saw a huge cinnamon bear that had pulled out and tipped over our basement freezer.
Oh.
Yeah. The bear immediately grabbed what it could and ran, which was a whole rack of drumsticks. I was mad. But that only lasted for a split second until my brain caught up and told me, hey, you moron, it was a flipping bear, and you should be happy it ran.
Yeah.
You don't want to press charges or anything, stupid. The funniest thing I found out after investigating the situation was that the bear had not simply walked through the screen door to get inside. It had actually pushed it aside like any human would do. And, so yes, we close our doors year round now. And when I told my buddies the bear in the basement story, it inevitably devolved into some other meaning. So now on our camping trips, when any of us have to go number two, we say we have a bear in the basement.
Nice,
Mike. I knew John would like that one.
So. Yeah, I like sayings for things like that. So I like to keep people guessing what I'm really going on through.
That's right. So now you have a new one. You can be like, guys, gotta wrap this meeting up. Got a bear in the basement.
Yeah, totally. Next, the staff meeting. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to let you know I have a bear in the basement, plan on taking care of that.
We better let him go. He's got a bear in his basement. That's crazy.
I'll go use the big boss's office.
I didn't know we had basements in Georgia. Oh, my goodness.
We got them all over the place, man.
All right. Well, that is our show. Donna, I want to thank you so, so, so much for joining us tonight.
Yeah.
Thanks. It was so fun.
Good. It was great having you. You guys need to go check out her podcast, Constantly Under Construction Podcast, at constantlyunderconstruction.com, or look it up in iTunes or wherever fine podcasts are sold. That's us for tonight. Just want to let you guys know that if you want to send in a story, you can send it email or audio to thatstoryshow@gmail.com. Thatstoryshow.com is the website. You can follow us on Twitter at thatstoryshow as well. Review us on iTunes if that's how you found us, or review us wherever you found us. It'd be great. If you want more great shows, listen and visit at nlcast.com. Thanks to our patrons for your support, with special thanks to producers Jennifer Kennison, Carrie Wright, Philem Ludens, Zane Estrada, and James Spangler. Become a Patreon today at patreon.com/NLCast. Support the show. We just got some brand new coasters in, and we'll send you a sticker and a coaster if you sign up. So remember, though, when something weird, annoying, embarrassing, or gross or painful happens, don't get stressed, don't get depressed. Just think, this belongs on That Story Show. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks, John, and thank you, Donna.
Yeah. You're welcome.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. YouTube. Don't forget about my YouTube channel and Red School Bus, rsbcast.com. I think that about does it.
I was thinking about opening an Etsy store.
Yeah, I've got one.
Oh. I was just kidding. I don't have anything to sell.